municipality which could enact an ordinance saying that you cannot discharge a firearm in it. And so some legislator from Lincoln County decided he would get a lot of votes from those living in the Devil's Lake area and got it passed. And how the heck, what's the interest in?
I thought there was something in the Constitution about local laws.
I don't think anybody worries about the Constitution.
I move we delete Section 20.
Oh, you've got
the whole thing.
Awful lot of.
So aren't those all those things covered other places?
No.
No.
Oh, no.
The greatest bill, I think, was in 67. Now, I'm sure you remember that, the sow cow bill.
Oh, yeah. I worked with a conference committee on that crazy bill.
What was that? I don't remember that.
As I recall, it went through on, was it rustling, and listed a number of animals. Instead of cow, they had misspelled it as to sow.
Yeah, you know, it was the taking and using of an animal without the consent of the owner. It was kind of the lesser included of varsity of livestock, is what it was, yeah.
And hadn't it gone through two agricultural committees, and they...
Yeah, and it said sow.
You realize when they were all through, it really should have been cow, but the original bill and everything was sows.
I got on a conference committee. I wasn't on the conference committee, but I was asked to work with some of the members who were from the Senate with us. And God, I couldn't, you know, it was really, really hilarious because there was one individual, she'll go unnamed, but he felt that sow ought to be in there along with cow.
Taking and using the sow.
By God, that we ought to protect the sow as well as the cow. We had an awful time convincing him that, you know, the sows were really covered anyway. But it was kind of funny.
Well, I think this ought to be cleaned up. I think this is terrible, this kind of stuff.
But we ain't to just willy-nilly, you know, throw these out.
Actually, Section 20 restates existing Oregon law, every one of these subsections.
Well, don't you think it should be a crime to intentionally point a loaded or unloaded firearm at another person?
Sure.
Okay.
Don, you're objecting to sub 3.
Well, I'm objecting to all that nonsense in there.
You mean in sub 3?
Excuse me, E. Yes.
Well, how many votes will that lose us, Dave, if we take that Devil's Lake and the Deschutes River out?
Well, it's Sam Johnson.
Well, actually, if you take it out, those that have a concern in that area can, by separate bill, just
put it back in.
Introduce it again.
Oh, well, here's the thing. Even if that's out of there, you see, you know, we're proposing a statute that would probably cover this kind of thing, assuming there were people around in the area. And that is recklessly endangering another person.
I move we delete E.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Sorry, Sam. I don't know. Do we really need to put sub 2 in?
Does this definition here describe the rifle or pistol range to Sam's house?
I have no idea what it is. I remember it coming up and thinking, oh, Lord. And I don't know. Do we have to keep sub 2? Why suspend hunting privileges unless it's connected with hunting?
I
would think a legislator would be highly embarrassed to introduce some asinine thing like that.
Well, I'll get some votes at home. Well, this subsection 2 restates existing law, although it has been expanded. I believe existing law says 3 years, and I increased that to 5 years. Mm. The rationale for it is people that commit these offenses supposedly are irresponsible firearm operators.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, I have no problem. It's judicial discretion.
21.
Good heavenly days.
Well, these are the offenses for failing to comply with the permit and handgun registration requirements.
I like sub C. He has got to notify the department if he becomes mentally ill.
Mm-hmm. No, not if he becomes mentally ill, only if he has been confined.
No, but he has to do it intentionally.
I know.
And while he is incompetently confined, he's
need to have a good defense under our responsibility article.
Yeah.
Now, under subsection D,
didn't
we make an amendment that would require amendment to subsection D?
Mm-hmm.
To report the loss of the department of theft of this handgun.
A handgun report would go to the police or the sheriff.
Did we actually make that amendment, or did we just talk
about
it?
Yeah, we did. Let me see those disabilities again and see what we're
There's an awful lot of eyewash in this section, really. I mean, it's a...
article. This section.
Hmm?
Article. Why doesn't somebody move to adopt it so I can vote no?
Well, we're not going
to
do these
but
a
you
bunch.
Just about, if you're going to require these things to be done, you just about have to put some section in here to say what's going to happen to you if you don't.
Section 22. This is one that made Don Clark happy.
Yeah, this is based on the California.
Yeah, this is the Clark Amendment here.
I was very pleased to note that.
California section 12302 to 12307. We'd be outlawing the ownership possession of destructive devices in Oregon.
But a writ through, you're going to need it in Eugene, I think.
Well, are they going to need it in Boardman?
Yeah? Betcha.
I added subsection 4. 60-day grace period.
This might be the way to get this thing passed.
Listen, do you suppose if we hurried this through, you could charge the Department of Defense under this for the poison gas bombs?
I would certainly hope so.
I added subsection 4 for Representative Frost's client over there in Washington County. he has such a collection of 60 days.
Yeah, can we indict Mel Laird under this section? Well, this
must be an
follows.
Interesting guy.
This is a more explicit collector. Description than the federal, isn't it, on destructive devices?
Tell the court.
Well, yeah, because the federal law doesn't necessarily outlaw them.
Because he hasn't raised
a prohibitive tax on them.
A little mistake there.
Dave, that's right. Scoggins down.
Yeah, but they. But it also it takes one more time.
How far were you raised?
Roger, is this right under subsection 2? Is that 60 greater than 60 caliber?
Yeah, that's the caliber.
1/2 inch is federal.
60 caliber. Anyway. No, I'm not really very expertise in this field. What's it? Does that seem?
It just seems like a strange number.
Why?
I mean, are you excluding some pretty powerful weapons below 60 caliber?
Well, I would think so, but it seems a little high. But if it has to be greater than 60, which fires fixed ammunition. No, fixed ammunition.
What is fixed ammunition?
How big is 60 caliber?
Well, that's a bullet.
Well, that's a big machine gun. It's the great big heavy machine gun. Fires a 60 caliber shell.
What is it? What is a big elephant gun, Ron?
Oh, not near that.
Well, it is not far off.
50 caliber?
Yeah, it's about 50-something, maybe 50.
No, I think you're right. I think it is larger than that.
I don't think so.
There are a lot of 357s around which are used for hunting, and that's not too far off 50.
Oh, that's quite a ways.
Oh, yeah, the 357's only at 38.
Yes, you only think the elephant gun, though, the double barrel things, they look like a shotgun.
That's about a 50 caliber, I think.
Yeah, or 45.
Well, I really don't know.
About the same size as a 45 caliber. But
this fixed 480.
I'm not enough of a weapons expert to understand some of this terminology, but now, but 50 caliber, certainly in a machine gun, that's
a 60 caliber machine gun is the heavy machine gun.
But most of your aircraft that fire is still well, for example, in the ones you're using in Vietnam now, those are 50 calibers.
Right.
The Magic Dragon ones, you know, where they fire these Gatling guns, those are all 50 caliber Gatling guns where they fire out of the side and, you know, to strafe the jungles and stuff. Those are 50 caliber. But that's it. But I'm not sure that that's fixed ammunition. And we'd probably have that covered as a machine gun anyway. But, and if that's...
What is fixed ammunition? I'm not familiar with that term.
Yeah. No, I feel a little ignorant on some of these terms. This is based on the California and the federal law, but I'm not expertise in this area myself. For example, I don't know what tracer ammunition manufacturer using shotguns is.
Oh, it's for scaring away swans. It's kind of fun. No, seriously.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Do you use it at night?
Well, you know, you can't shoot a swan. But yeah, swans go down in the Wapato Lake area near Gaston. Just wipe out grass, the high-quality grass fields. And so you call the state game department, and they bring out a box of shotgun shells that have an exploding device in it. It goes out and puts off a big flare, and the swans all fly off. Hmm. It's kind of fun to fool around with.
Man of insight.
A Roman candle kind of thing, huh?
Yeah, it's a Roman candle out of a shotgun.
And we added the fireworks displays, which is not in the California or the federal law.
Where is that?
In subsection 3. It just seemed to me that the definition up there might include some of these firework.
You don't have any exceptions in this for as far as explosive devices. Dynamite?
No, we get to that.
Oh,
what?
Okay. Well, things like dynamite.
We get to that.
We get to that as the miners.
It's what?
A sale to miners.
Well, but you can't possess it.
But we don't have anything that would restrict the sale or possession of dynamite or nitroglycerin.
Any explosive, incendiary, or poison gas, bomb, grenade, missile, mine, or any launching device, therefore. Okay, I get that.
23.
At least it's a short one.
Why? What is this all about? Why do we worry about defacing the handgun?
Taking and trying to remove the serial number.
We've obliterated the identification marks.
Oh, I see.
You reworded that statute.
Good statute.
Rather substantially.
24. Here's your explosives.
Yeah, now, wait a minute. He commits the crime of defacing a firearm if he intentionally defaces a handgun or a machine gun. He can't have a machine gun. Possession of the machine gun is prima facie evidence that it was defaced by the possessor, but he can't possess it legally in the first place.
Well, of course, this gives you a place to cop out.
I'm convinced.
24.
And this is exclusive to mine.
This is a restatement of Oregon law.
We have a registry now that everybody that buys dynamite and such things have to sign the registry and so on.
But I don't think that's sent to any.
You know,
it's just available.
It has to be maintained by the seller.
Yeah. You know, I don't think we're going to do anything with it, but I will predict that if the kind of incidents continue in urban America that are continuing now, it will soon be a highly restricted kind of commodity, dynamite and all things like this.
Mm-hmm. Gasoline.
25, defenses.
There's a difference between dynamite and gasoline.
Of course, if you read some of these stories that are coming out lately about student activists and whatnot, I mean, they steal all their dynamite anyways. Yeah. Or most of it. Yeah.
Okay, but
it's
not possession, hard to find. Possession
yeah.
of. I'll bet we have permits to have possession, and the permit will be graded whether you can have this much and that much. I'll bet you we get so restrictive, it's just ridiculous with that stuff.
Well, Section 25 isn't particularly complex. It just requires a lot of back reference. Any prosecution under paragraph A, subsection 1 of Section 15. Now, that is possession of a blackjack, switchblade knife, gravity knife, and metallic knuckles. Or paragraph A of subsection 1 of 16, which is a machine gun or a sawed-off shotgun. So, for as far as those two offenses are concerned, it's a defense. At the time of the offense, the actor was a person defined, then we have to write subsection 2. If he's a member of the military, federal official, peace officer, firearm dealer, or a correctional official,
Or an empty firearm.
Well, he said the actor was a person defined in, so...
This allows an FBI agent to carry a switchblade knife.
Or a gravity knife.
Or
brass knuckles.
Yeah, that's okay. Sleep well, the FBI's on duty. It's brass knuckles.
Subsection 2 relates to carrying concealed weapons. And it is a defense to the same group of people, including antique firearms.
Well, wait a minute. You got a mistake there. Shouldn't that be Section 2? You say a person defined in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6, or Section 6.
Should be
six.
Section 2.
It should be Section 2, not 6.
It says?
2A.
And then we include three other groups.
Oh, but you got an antique firearm in this one.
Right.
So you got to take that out, don't you? 5 is an antique firearm.
5 is an antique firearm.
Under 2. So let's take that out. Yeah. This must have been late in the day, Roger.
What was that? You can't blame Roger for this. We've all gone through this. But that's kind of a grandfather clause or something.
The actor was a flinty fire. That just won't work. That just won't work.
Okay.
What's this about a member of a duly authorized military?
Oh, that's the, the VFW parade on Veterans Day.
Which one's this?
American Legion.
We didn't carry the machine guns, so that's
I marched in one of those parades.
What's an authorized function?
A riot.
Well, don't laugh. One of the problems the Portland police had in one of the disturbances of Albina was a whole bunch of these kind of nuts in a car with rifles and stuff that were coming down to help the police.
Yeah, but I dare say that would hardly be described as a duly authorized military or veterans organization.
Well, they were there as part of this group, and that's what got them together.
Yeah, but it wasn't the VFW or the American Legion or something like that.
I think that language is probably out of our present statute. Our present statute says duly authorized military or civil organizations while parading, or the members thereof when going to and from the places of meetings of their organizations.
Of course, Roger, why should this be a defense to 17? I can see it being a defense to 18, but 17 is carrying a concealed knife. Why in the devil should the VFW be allowed to march down the street?
Or brass knuckles.
No, but I can see... Really?
Yeah, Roger.
Well,
yeah,
you've got a point there, I suppose. Yeah. And I suppose that also relates to subsection 3, shooting target clubs. Don't necessarily carry concealed knives.
Yeah.
It would relate to B and C both.
Well, I suppose that you could make a case for to carry a knife.
I think you could for a knife on the veterans because they carried bayonets, but I don't know if they carry them concealed.
Yeah, but they didn't conceal. No.
Sabers?
No, they're not.
Wear them on the belt.
Invisible, sure.
XOSS outfit or something.
Well, if we wanted to clarify that, we should break up the defenses as to section 17 and 18 then.
Oh, well, in other, that'll be it. Huh? Let the prosecutors take care of it.
No, why don't you do this? Make 2A and 2B applicable to both 17 and 18, and then make B and C applicable only to 18. Couldn't you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Too much. That way, if you're a VFW or a target shooter, you have a defense to a section 18, but not a 17.
Yeah, just, well, you probably the easiest thing is just put another subsection in there.
Yeah. Well, why don't you do that, Roger? Any objection? Okay.
This deal where you have a guy can have a gun on him, as long as he's on property he owns or controls, that'd allow any employee of any store in Lloyd Center or of Lloyd Center Corporation, as long as he's on the Lloyd Center Corporation property, to run around with a gun. Is that right?
Would he control the property?
Well, he's an employee of Lloyd Center.
In his home or place of business.
Is this a change from existing law?
No, it's not.
What does the existing statute say?
Owning, possessing, or keeping within his place of residence or place of business.
Well,
and this allows him to conceal it.
Yeah, this maybe you've extended a little too far here, because that doesn't.
I don't want
any reason for him to carry it around with him anyway.
I don't want to.
No, I don't know.
I don't expand that at all.
The idea mainly is to allow a store owner to.
I really don't like that very well either.
Well,
store owners end up getting killed with their own guns. What happens?
That's true.
Well, you mean you object on the last part of it, on property owns or controls?
I object to us giving him a defense for concealment.
Well, a man, with a 5,000 acre ranch, I don't see how you're going to enforce carrying a concealed weapon on carrying a weapon around with his own property.
Well, okay, he can also have 100 employees there that he's intermingling with all the time and everything. Living in bunkhouses and stuff.
You're ordinarily not even going to be able to get on his property to find out whether he's carrying it.
What would happen if you just struck concealing? A person carrying a handgun or deadly weapon in his home or place of business or on property he owns or controls.
Well, then it wouldn't be, there's no point in providing defense, because the essence of the crime is that he carries it concealed.
Or has it concealed.
Or
in a drawer.
Yeah. On or about a person or concealed in a vehicle that he's driving or occupying.
Yeah, this would allow him to also carry a revolver concealed in a vehicle as long as he was on his own property.
Carries a knife or a handgun. Don't even need carrying in there, be under D.
No, it's superfluous for you to carry. We're talking about a concealed.
The person concealing a handgun or deadly weapon in his home or place of business.
Wouldn't that be far enough to go? Just say home or place of business, period.
Well, I suppose it would, as long as you wouldn't construe that to mean that a man on his own property couldn't carry a concealed handgun. It seems like he should. Certainly in areas like Eastern Oregon, where a lot of these property they own and control is a very large piece of property that they spend a lot of time out of their home on.
Isn't that his place of business?
Could be. You could even construe home as including outside the actual house itself.
Well, of course, that would just, in any event, this is just going to be a defense to that particular charge. He might still be guilty of some other crime under this article, if he hasn't complied with the registration requirements and whatnot.
Well, why don't we take out the carrying or, so we just read the person concealing. Any objection to that?
I think Don's got a pretty legitimate point about people getting shot with their own guns, but I don't think there's much you can do about that, probably.
I don't think you'd particularly solve the problem by removing the defense.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. A person concealing a handgun or deadly weapon in his home or place of business or on property he owns or controls.
Yeah.
What does property mean? Does that mean vehicle?
No, it was meant to mean real property.
Should we say real property?
Well, I don't see why home or place of business isn't broad enough.
I think it is, too.
I
move that we delete carrying or and place a period after business, deleting or on property he owns or controls.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Now, 3 deals with defenses to what? Illegal use of firearms.
Illegal use, and we can delete the reference to paragraph E because we deleted E. So all we're talking about is intentionally aiming or pointing a loaded or unloaded firearm at another person within range of the weapon. Certain people can do that.
That's the feds and
the military, the feds, peace officers, and correctional people.
Are we taking away a self-defense? Or defense of others, are we?
No. Now, our justification article doesn't talk about firearms as such, but you're entitled to use reasonable force and that sort of thing, and even deadly force and under certain circumstances. So you would have a defense under our justification article for self-defense of yourself or a limited defense for property.
Yeah.
Do we keep a defense of third persons in our justification article?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then 4 deals with defenses to prosecutions for illegal traffic and destructive devices.
We have antique weapons there again.
Yeah, I see we'll take out number 5, that's the antique weapon. A motion picture television studio using destructive devices in the conduct of its business.
Where are you?
Page 35.
Yeah, that exception is written into the California destructive device bill.
Since we've been encouraging California companies to come to Oregon and make films, so we didn't. charge them with a crime.
How about the Washington Park Summer Theater? Can't they discharge some bombs up there in the amphitheater and, you know, the Old Glory review or something like that?
Yeah, but they can't do it bare-chested.
Oh, I hope we get through pretty quick.
Well, you think there ought to be some other defense for other legitimate plays and that sort of thing?
Well, I can't really... what you're talking about really is something that can, in fact, be harmful. But if they're out there on location, then nobody's going to get hurt by it. But if you start bringing it into these little theater groups and so on, you just have a... No, I was kidding, really. I think I was. I'm not really sure at this time of the day when I'm serious.
I don't think anybody's going to get very excited either way about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Then we got 26 is forfeiture.
Now, this is one I wish that Mrs. Perry were here to discuss with us. So she can learn something about due process of law.
I'm not very happy about the fact that you sell these, but I don't know what else you're going to... I don't know how you can get around that possibility. There was a provision in the Oregon law that sheriffs can sell guns, too, as other property, a sheriff's sale. Well, I never did. I never sold any of them. They just accumulated, stacked up. I let pass it on to the next guy to worry about what to do with them.
Well...
Of course, I would just soon see the state police either utilize them for their own benefit or destroy, because that at least removes them from circulation. That puts a little tiny dent in the vast number of guns we have.
Well, we say for disposal.
You want?
That thing there, Mrs. Perry's stuff.
Oh.
They can dispose of them in any lawful manner, which would include destroying them. You know. Mm-hmm.
They also
it wouldn't
them.
Prohibit them from selling them. No, that's true, it wouldn't. But
Don, I was telling Roger, I don't think you really read her right. She is outlining anything that might be used for discussion. Things that she saw as some kind of... That's what I asked her to do. She is delighted with the statute. She is great. So if you... When you take the doll tonight, punch the pins.
Great.
I hope she comes down and testifies in favor of it.
You just don't like women who went to Vassar, is all.
Demonstrate.
She smokes cigars, too.
Well, there goes another vote. Well, there's always the Women's Liberation Corps.
I'm just getting sensitive.
This other thing.
Just getting sensitive? What took you so long?
Okay.
Hey, section 27, let's in sub A, let's insert New York. I've always wanted to do that sometime, you say.
See if anybody catches it.
No, just, you know, if by law we can change a contiguous state by putting the statute, what if we do it?
Section 27 is an exact duplicate of the bill passed last year. Statue.
You could put in Alaska or Hawaii.
Thanks. Did we pass this, or did the legislature
pass this last year?
Yeah.
In their great wisdom, let's
say. That's because of the Federal Firearms Act.
Yeah, okay. How about 28? Well, 28, 29, and 30 are just...
That's
the,
just all junk stuff.
The housekeeping, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is...
Okay. Is there a motion on... Sections 14 through 30.
I so move.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Marvy.
Can you hear the mute that time?
Hi, George. That's good
work. 4:03.
Yes, I vote in favor.
That is good work.
4:03 p.m. Well, it's an excellent draft.
It is. It
It'll
is.
Kill
a lot of
cold,
work.
But
I'm amazed that the trouble you have, you resolved a lot of those things.
Oh, I think.
Or partially resolved a lot of those things so quickly.
I think it's a marvelous job of drafting.